Welcome to NHL Draft Class Virtual Edition. I'm Adam Kimmelman, and with me in over-caffeinated spirit, as always, is Mike Morial. Mike, how are you?
You know me too well, Adam. Chai tea latte at 7:30, pumpkin spice at 9. Kids roll out of bed, fill their coffee mugs, we share a few laughs, some stories, and it's back to work. So, business as usual in the Morial home, buddy.
Business as usual? That's breaking news with tea? You had tea?
It's a latte. Haven't you ever had that?
No, I haven't.
You gotta be kidding me.
Yeah.
I mean, give your taste buds a treat, will you? For crying out loud.
I'm not as worldly as you with my beverage choice. Chai tea, Mr. Coffee.
That's
it. All right. So let's talk about some stuff for the 2020 NHL draft. And we're going to go over some of the top prospects in the Ontario League with Joey Tanute from NHL Central Scouting in a minute here. Now, before we get into that, we don't know exactly when the draft is going to be. But you can learn all about some of the top prospects from listening to our prior episodes of NHL Draft Class. Last episode, we talked about our mock drafts. Before that, we had Central Scouting Director Dan Marr on to discuss their final rankings. Plus, we've had interviews with Alexi Lafreniere, Quentin Byfield, Jake Sanderson, and more. All you have to do is go back through the archives, and you can learn all you need to know about the 2020 NHL Draft.
Yep. It's, we got so many guests on these past couple weeks here, Adam, and the mock draft discussion we had, that was so interesting because at the top of the draft, the three of us were choosing a different player at number two to the Ottawa Senators. So fans can catch up on all that information. It's quality stuff, and it's a fun listen.
It is. But for now, let's bring in Joey Tanute from NHL Central Scouting. He's going to tell us about some of the top prospects in the Ontario League. Joey, thanks for joining us on NHL Draft Class.
Thank you for having me.
So, Joey, what is it about Quentin Byfield's game that you believe will translate well to the NHL? And did you see him elevate his game as the year wore on?
Yeah, I think that, Quentin obviously had a great season. First overall pick in the OHL draft, started the season with a great Hlinka tournament, came out of the gates really hot in the OHL. He's a guy that, so young, he's got so much upside. The combination of size, strength, the work habits that he has, the 200-foot game he plays, his compete level, he's got playmaking ability, goal-scoring ability that is high-end. He's a dynamic skater. He's got a pull-away gear. He plays down the middle, center iceman. That's, he's 6'4", not even finished growing. He definitely elevated his game throughout the season. I mean, he made the World Junior team and, won a gold medal there and, was winding up for a big playoff run with Sudbury. So, you can't go wrong with Quentin. He's had a great season, done everything he could as a high-end prospect for this draft. And, he's an exciting player to follow for the future.
There's two guys from the Ottawa 67s in the top seven, the Central Scouting final rankings. Let's start with Marco Rossi. He's number six. He led all CHL players in scoring with 120 points, 5'9", 183. Do you think that size is going to give him any issues when he takes his game to the next level?
I don't believe so, no. I think that, I think with Marco, I don't think that size is going to be an issue. He's very strong. He's got that low center of gravity. It looks like he's got a really strong core and, strong legs. He's a dynamic skater. He's got that, elusive ability it's hard for guys really to hit him. He very, very rarely, is eliminated from the play. He's got a strong determination to his game. And, he's a competitor. I see Marco always looking for an edge over his opponents. He's feisty. He's got that grit. He plays at such a high pace and he does things, that are so high end that at a high pace that, for him, it's just second nature where, for other guys, they'd have to take their time to make the decision and line up what they want to do. But, Marco, he just does things so quick. You know, he doesn't need a lot of time on the ice to make plays happen. He's got that goal scoring ability and playmaking ability, and you know, he wants to win, and that's what I think sets him apart, and that's why I see size you know, not being an issue for him translating to the next level.
Joey, how have you seen Jack Quinn's game grow this season? His skating seemed to be maybe something that needed a little bit of work, but has he really improved that?
I think the thing that's improved the most for Jack is his confidence. I think that, you know, once he realized, you know, how good he is and how good he can be and you know, saw that he can take over games himself is what really propelled his season forward. You know, from my first viewing of him this season to the last, he's been a consistent player, good in every view. I love his habits. He's got dynamic goal-scoring ability all over the ice in the offensive zone. I've seen him score in multiple ways. He's a one-versus-one threat for defensemen. He can beat guys, and when he's in alone on the goalie, you know, he's got the ability to score in multiple ways, like I said. He's got a rare release. His nose for the net and his shot is high end, and his elite goal scoring instincts, you know, will definitely translate to the next level.
Hey, Joey, there really hasn't been much attention or discussion about Cole Perfetti of Saginaw since the end of the CHL season, probably because a lot of the talk has been centered around Lafreniere, Byfield, Stützle, and those up-and-comers, Rossi and Quinn, you just spoke about. But how special is Perfetti, the number five ranked skater in Central's list?
Yeah, Cole Perfetti's a very special player. You know, he's a player that I think grabbed the attention of our whole country, you know, at the start of the season with his clutch performance at the Hlinka tournament, and you know, really just carried it into this season. And you know, when I went to watch Cole Perfetti, I was excited, you know, every time he came on the ice, to see what he could do and what he was going to do. And you know, he's a player that's targeted. He draws the attention from the other team's players, and they want to eliminate him and take as much time and space away from him as possible, because, you know, obviously he's a guy that you know, he gets it done. And you know, just his elusiveness with his stops and starts and his ability to turn, you know, and change of directions and whatnot, to find time and space, and just to be pretty much a dual threat on the ice. Like, he's so dangerous every time he's got the puck. He's got excellent goal scoring ability, great release, accurate shot, but also, you know, his playmaking ability is outstanding as well. You know, he can just draw the attention of you know, everyone on the ice, including scouts and fans, and you know, everybody's looking at him, and you know, he's seeing a guy that's stepping in off the blue line back door, and he's putting it on his tape, and it's in the net. So this guy is a really special player. He's a player I enjoyed watching all season, and his statistics backed it up, and he's just got a bright future.
You tend to forget he scored 111 points and 37 goals, which is outstanding in a season. But another question I had here, and I think a lot of people are curious about it. Obviously, you've seen Jamie Drysdale, defenseman of Erie, and Jake Sanderson of the NTDP during your crossover viewings of that league. Can you pinpoint, Joey, anything at all that would force your hand to selecting one over the other if the opportunity were there at the draft table?
You know, I don't think, you know, sitting here right now, I could separate them in terms of who I would take if I'm sitting at the draft table. I think you can't go wrong with either. They're both excellent skaters with high-end hockey IQ. The thing I think that might separate them a little bit would be, you know, Sanderson is a little more physical. You know, I've seen him play against NCAA teams that, you know, he's playing against guys 3 to 5 years older than him, and he's punishing guys. You know, he's a very physical player, and you know, his first 1-2 steps to to take guys' time and space away is unmatched in this draft class. And, you know, he pops at guys and really punishes guys. Drysdale is, you know, he's more of a defender that uses smarts, angles, stick work, position. So in terms of defensive play, I would say that would maybe be something that would differentiate them. But the two-way ability that both of them have, the offensive upside, as well as the, you know, high-end defensive play, they both play in all situations. Both top pairing potential at the next level, in my opinion.
When the final rankings come out, it's a compendium of everything the player's done throughout the season. So one game or one moment really isn't supposed to, you know, ideally doesn't weigh more than any others. But Tyson Forrester from Barry really opened up a lot of eyes at the top prospects game back in January. How have you seen his game grow since September to where, you know, where he was when things stopped in March?
Well, you know, he's been one of the biggest risers, I think, of the draft class this season. I think he, you know, there wasn't much, you know, hype on him at the start of the year, and he kind of just burst onto the radar and forced everybody to take note. He was consistent all year in his play. Statistics were outstanding. I think that his skating improved a ton during the season, and I think that he just kept getting better and better. He went from a C prospect on our list to a B prospect on our list and ended up, you know, as an A prospect for our final rankings in the first round there. The prospects game definitely will help his cause. You know, he had a great game and showed that, you know, he can play with and against all the top competition in his draft class and excel. You know, he just has a lethal shot, excellent goal scoring instincts, and his playmaking ability is I think underrated as well. You know, just high end offensive upside, you know, as good as anybody in the draft with the puck on his stick in the house. And you know, he's definitely a potential sleeper in this draft.
Yeah, Forrester ranked number 21 in Central's final rankings there, Joey. 36 goals, 80 points in 62 games. Real special season for him. Want to touch on another defenseman here, Ryan O'Rourke from Sault Ste. Marie. Now, this was a kid at the age of 17, Joey. He was named captain, which is pretty unusual for, you know, a perennial power like the Greyhounds. Why do you think his game has really progressed? You know, first of all, if you could just discuss a little bit about him being a captain at 17 and then how his game has really, you know, transcended this year to get him a possible first round selection here.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's obviously very impressive to be a captain of your OHL team as a 17-year-old. It says a lot about, you know, what the coaches and the organization think about you and your ability to lead, your habits, you know, coming to the rink every day and putting in the work, and, you know, also shows that his teammates have a high respect for him as well. And you can definitely see when he's on the ice, he leads by example. He's talking to his teammates. He's involved in you know, the game all night in every aspect. So yeah, you know, he has a great compete level. He's hard to play against. He's a very smart defenseman that doesn't make a lot of mistakes. He competes hard, you know, up and down the ice, solid two-way D, great skating ability, which helps him, you know, close on guys in the defensive zone and have the ability to join the rush up ice and, you know, come in as that second wave. And, you know, he put up some good statistics this year, had a great season. And, you know, if you're looking for a guy that, you know, can step into your top four at the next level, you know, has offensive upside and power play ability, as well as shutdown ability, PK, leadership ability, high-end compete level, you know, you can't go wrong with this defenseman, Ryan O'Rourke.
Joey, Jan Mišák comes over to Hamilton from the Czech League in January after the World Juniors, which isn't something you see a lot of. But how did he do fitting in his game into North American size ranks, you know, playing in the Ontario League? There's always that question, you know, coming in midstream, how is he going to handle that adjustment? Obviously, you must have had pretty high, you know, you must have liked what you saw because he's number 28 in the final rankings. Was it a smoother transition than maybe you realized he could, it could be?
Yeah, I think so. I think that Jan came over and, you know, that's tough to do, to leave home, you know, come to a new country, come to a new team, you know, as a teenager in the middle of a hockey season, you know, and have to go out and perform. And he came in and he had a pretty flawless transition. He started scoring and putting up points immediately and found, you know, a role with Hamilton and was able to contribute and, you know, really help out with what they were doing and help them make the playoffs. But, you know, he's a polished player. You can tell that, you know, he's played in a men's league and you know, taken habits from there. He has great instincts. He's a really solid 200-foot centerman that, you know, he can play in all situations. He plays on the PP. He's a very dangerous penalty killer. Just great habits all over the ice. And, you know, I think that he's a guy that it's kind of the tip of the iceberg for him. I think he is still growing. And, you know, as he gets stronger and stronger and, you know, continues to develop going forward, there's a high upside. And just a guy that can kind of give you a little bit of everything on every night.
So speaking of high upside, there's two players from the Windsor Spitfires I want to ask you about. Jean-Luc Foudy and Will Cooley. Two very different body types, two very different kind of players. But they went from getting a lot of ice time on a Windsor team that was rebuilding last season. This season, the expectations were a little different. How have you seen Jean-Luc and Will progress this season?
I think they've progressed well. I think that these are two very good prospects. I've seen a lot of Windsor this year, and you know, these are guys that have, you know, been heavily scouted by our staff. I think that on a strong Windsor team this year, they contributed well. I think that maybe you know, the statistics maybe weren't where, you know, a lot of people had thought that they would be, but for me, that doesn't mean that they didn't contribute and didn't have a strong season. You know, Foudy, he's one of the best, you know, skaters in the draft. You know, his speed is outstanding. And, you know, his puck possession, end-to-end ability and the amount of zone time that he gains for his team is you know, it's very high end. I think he's got a untapped offensive upside. I think that, you know, he's a guy that next year and in the future will break out offensively. And I just really like his determination, his compete level. He wants the puck every time he's on the ice. He wants to be the best. You know, he wants to contribute to his team. And I think that, you know, he's a guy that with his skating ability, you know, he's got a great future in front of him. Cooley, you know, Cooley had a really good year as well. I think that, you know, he's at his best when he's playing a heavy game, when he's hard on pursuit and he's finishing the body, making power moves with the puck to the net, parking himself in front on the PP, getting sticks on pucks, finding rebounds. You know, he's a guy that, you know, he's got that power forward upside. You know, and he competes. I've seen him fight. I've seen him, you know, go to the hard areas. He's got a great release, goal scoring ability. He plays a 200-foot game. You know, and when he's first guy back, you know, he's responsible in his own zone playing low. So I think, you know, maybe in some circles, you might say that you wanted a little more, you know, statistics from them, but in my opinion, I think they contributed well this year to Windsor, and I think they're great prospects.
Yeah, Jean-Luc, some good pedigree there too. The brother of Columbus Blue Jackets prospect Liam Foudy as well. So when we had NHL Director of Central Scouting Dan Moore on NHL Draft Class after the release of the final rankings, Joey, he mentioned Kingston forward Zaid Wisdom as a player that he'd be watching come draft day. Wisdom is number 54 on the final list, projected second round pick. Is he a player you could see having a productive NHL career at some point in the future?
I can, yes. You know, with Zaid, he put himself on the map this season, and you got to give this guy a lot of credit. He, you know, he earned everything that he got this season. He was on the up and up all year. You know, he just a very determined, you know, player and person from what I have gathered. It looks like he's on a path to, you know, to prove everyone wrong and really to, you know, make a career for himself. I think he got better all year. And, you know, he played with some elite players this year. He played with Shane Wright. He played with Kuhlmuir. You know, not everyone can play with elite players. And for Zaid to play with them all year and, you know, it wasn't every night that Shane Wright was the best player. You know, Zaid had some nights where he led the charge as well. So, you know, he just did it all, really, for Kingston this season. He hounds pucks. He finishes his checks. He's just two-way guy that, you know, he doesn't take no for an answer. So, you know, he put up a very good statistical season as well. And, you know, being able to go back to Kingston next year and, you know, potentially play with Shane again and Kromiak again. I'm not sure if he's coming back to Kingston or not. I don't know. But if those three are together next year, you know, you're talking about one of the best lines in the league. So, you know, he's on a good path right now. And I definitely see, you know, him being able to find his way into the league.
Yeah, Shane Wright, a real solid player for the 2022 draft, no doubt about it, Joey. So other than the players that we've discussed, is there another OHL player ranked as a second, third, or fourth round projection by Central who maybe you feel could be a diamond in the rough in the 2020 draft?
Yeah, I think a real diamond in the rough is Luke Evangelista from London. I think that, you know, here's another guy that, you know, didn't have a lot of hype coming into the season. You know, he had, for whatever circumstances, you know, he played, you know, minimal games, minimal ice time in his rookie season last year. So this year, you know, in some sense was, you know, his first OHL season where he was relied upon and, you know, he definitely delivered for London this year. You know, he had a great season statistically. And the thing that really sticks out to me with Evangelista is that if you look at his numbers, he had 57 of his 61 points were even strength. So what that shows to me is that he's consistent night in, night out, and he plays a five-on-five game. He played on the second power play unit. I think he's got power play upside for sure. I think that next year he'll see a lot of time on London's, you know, power play. And he did play PK this season. So, you know, he can play in every situation and, you know, contributes high hockey IQ. His puck management is excellent. Doesn't turn the puck over a lot. He makes, you know, really good smart plays with the puck. Great vision, you know, playmaking and goal scoring abilities. He's slippery. He's got great hands. And, you know, I think as he physically matures, you know, he's a guy that could be a real sleeper in this draft, high upside.
Joey, I know your colleague at Central Scouting, Al Jensen, is the goalie guru there, but Nico Dawes from Guelph was number one in the final rankings. Was there any discussion about another OHL goalie potentially, you know, passing Dawes, or was Dawes that much head and shoulders above everybody else among the draft goalies this year?
Well, I think that at the start of the season, you know, it was, you know, like any season, it's kind of the list. You have to play and perform to, you know, to climb on the list. And I think that being through the draft, I think that Dawes is a guy that I don't know if a lot of people would have had him pegged as the number one OHL goalie for the draft at the start of the season. But, you know, with the work that everybody knows that Dawes put in over last summer, losing some weight, getting stronger, working hard at his craft, you know, came out of the gates and you know, once he was, you know, opening up the eyes of everyone in the hockey world, you know, not just us, but I think everyone, you know, getting invited to the Canada-Russia series and then, you know, making the World Junior team, you know, as the season went on, he was the number one guy from the OHL for sure. You know, Al does such a great job. He puts in so much work and, you know, I think that we all have full trust in Al, and you know, we try to throw our two cents in as a staff when we go and we view all these goalies that are on our player to watch list. But at the end of the day, you know, Al is, you know, he's been doing this for so long and he has such a great eye and great work ethic for putting together the goalie list that, you know, I think that he's done an excellent job. And, you know, like I said, we just try to throw our two cents in and help him out.
Excellent stuff. Thanks for coming on NHL Draft Class with us today, Joey.
Excellent. Thank you for having me.
Excellent stuff from Joey. Mike, he touched on a lot of guys from the OHL. What stood out to you?
Well, I think the discussion that we had, you know, regarding Jack Quinn and Marco Rossi, two players from the 67s, right, Adam? I mean, we still really don't know, you know, who's going to maybe be chosen over the other. I mean, a lot of people like Rossi, but of course, he was number six in Central's final rankings, and Jack Quinn was number seven. And the thing that just keeps going through my mind and what I'm thinking about, you know, as I watch video of Rossi and what he's capable of doing is, he's 5'9", 183 pounds. He's listed as a center, and he's played center for the 67s. But I'm just wondering if this is a player that might be playing wing, you know, in the NHL. Is he big enough to play a centerman's role? Is he strong enough? Maybe he'll get there. Obviously, we're talking about an 18-year-old kid here. We both know that as he develops, as he matures, things will only get better for him. But I guess that was the discussion that kind of raised my eyebrows. I still think it's an intriguing one. Who's going to go first? You got Quinn at 52 goals. You got Marco Rossi, a player who led the CHL with 120 points. I think it's something that's going to, you know, leading up to the draft, it's something I'm going to be very curious about.
See, when I watch Marco Rossi, I see Claude Giroux. The feistiness, the fight he has in his game, the head, the vision. Then you add in those skills. And look, and Claude Giroux is not much bigger. Obviously, he's filled out a little bit since his draft year. But in his draft year, playing, you know, for the Gatineau Olympics, he had 103 points. And there were questions about his size. I think if you had to redo that 05, that 2006 draft now, I don't think Claude Giroux would last to, where was he, the 22nd pick. So to me, I see all of those qualities in Marco Rossi. Giroux, you know, yes, he's on the wing now a little bit more. Actually, full-time he's on the wing now, but he's also 32 years old. His best years were in the middle. I don't see any reason Marco Rossi can't be a center in the NHL and thrive in that role. Yes, will he need to get bigger and stronger? Absolutely. But to me, everything that you like about his game as a junior player, I don't think the size is going to matter a bit. I think he has a chance to be a really, really good NHL center for somebody.
I totally agree with you. I think, you know, Rossi's that part. You know, Jack Quinn's going to be that player. If you put him in a top six role on wing with an elite center, I think he's going to score a lot of points at some point down the road. Two quality players, Adam, no doubt about it. Whoever gets them is going to be, you know, they'll have a, you know, a franchise player for themselves the next 10 to 15 years.
Absolutely. We love these kind of debates. But that's going to do it for this episode of NHL Draft Class. Mike, another good episode.
Always a pleasure, Adam. And to all our fans out there, please stay safe.
Absolutely. I hope everyone else is staying safe. We appreciate you listening. Please rate, review. You can subscribe for free. Any place you enjoy your podcast, you can check out all of our previous episodes. Until next time, NHL Draft Class is dismissed.